Being the parent of like a little kid, I think has gotten a lot harder than when I was raising my daughter. She's 23 now, and I got to tell you, the decisions you have to make and the things you have to monitor and protect your children from today has gotten a lot harder. What do you give them that's still entertaining, but also aligns with your values? You know, we've talked about Way FM being a product that you don't have to filter, but like if you got Netflix in your house, you got to have the filter on.
And even Disney Plus, you have the same problem.
Oh, well, I'll tell you, Disney Plus has been disappointing to me as a parent. And some of the things they've chose to put on there. And like, you got to watch it, you know? And that's why it's so nice to have something. If I was raising little kids, I would do PureFlix subscription, man, because you've got content on there that you're not having to filter out. And as a parent, I mean, I know we want to be involved in our kids' lives, but sometimes you need to park them in front of the TV and take 10 minutes to yourself. That's why PureFlix is a great option for families. You got family stuff, obviously. They're even dabbling in some drama. Yes. And PureFlix originals. Like, I saw the movie on their Strong Fathers, Strong Daughters. And I have to tell you,
you cried.
I did. There was three times. Not once, three times.
I did.
I wept and I was moved, and it was a great movie. And I think if I was raising my child now, I think PureFlix would be definitely a part of my family's entertainment plan.
So if you'd like to try PureFlix out, text PURE, that's P-U-R-E, to get your 1 week free trial. Faith and Family Entertainment with no ads on your favorite devices.
Welcome to the Wally Show Aftercast. All those things we did not get to during the course of the show today. Going to be a little bit of a faster cast today because we have to get out for a what?
I doubt it.
Why?
Because of the topic that you wanted me to talk about during our aftercast.
Oh, what is it again? Remind me?
I doubt it's going to be fast.
Remind me.
No, just go ahead.
Okay. Well, maybe not a faster cast. I don't know. Trying to get out of here. It's Friday, and we've got a lot to do today. Here's the thing. There's a movie coming out. I just saw this the other day. I saw the trailer for it for the first time, and it's called Honk for Jesus, Save Your Soul. And it's a mainstream movie. It's not a Christian movie.
I think it's like currently out right now.
Is it out? Okay, yeah. Because it stars Sterling K. Brown, Randall from This Is Us, and Regina Hall. And it's one of those things. I was reading like what the one-liner on it is. It's a fiction route that takes some big swings at the greed, hypocrisy, and rampant egomania that are the roots of personality preaching and megachurch fraud. Like, that's an indictment. Like, that's... Whoa. Yeah, and they went all out. And the clips that I saw, they were taking shot at, you know, all of those excesses and the problems that we see, and it's kind of a skewering commercial. It's basically skewering commercialized religion. And there's two things. I kind of got sad about this for two reasons. One, that we've given them the ammunition to actually make this movie, because like anything, like, you know, satire or stereotypes, they're usually born from some form of truth. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, had we not had all of these mistakes and excesses and the hypocrisy and greed, they would have no movie to write, you know? Yeah. And unfortunately, we've handed you your movie because they're like, it's right down the line of what's happening.
Do you know who some of the people are that they're going to talk about?
No, they say it's fiction.
Oh. Is it? Okay, yeah, it's like a parody.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, I thought it was like a documentary.
No. It's just a fiction. But again, it's still, my second frustration was like, people are already leaving the church. And, you know, this is the kind of stuff that just fuels the excuses that people use to not do business with God, because he's constantly seeking out everybody, not just the church folk, you know, and people will use other people's mess and the church's mess to not deal with God and not deal with their own stuff, and they just kind of escape from it. Like, do you remember The Eyes of Tammy Faye? Did you ever see that with Andrew Garfield and Jessica Chastain?
No, I did not. I know that it exists, but I haven't seen it.
I think it's on HBO Max. I watched it, and again, I like historical-based movies about people that I've known of. Like, I like seeing the other parts of the story and the backstory and things that I didn't know. But I remember sitting in a movie theater and the trailer came on. I was sitting with my best friends, Greg and Molly, and Greg's agnostic, you know, and I know there's church stuff, like, that we've had conversations about church and their problems with the hypocrisy of it, you know. And I remember watching that thing and just like, oh, dadgummit. Yeah. Like, I don't want that to undo everything I've tried to do in my life and being you know, somewhat of a decent representation of Christ the best I could. And so when these movies come out, while there probably are some funny moments in it, I think this is like way more damaging, you know?
Yes, because it's already, churches are already doing whatever they can to try to attract people in, like with lights and with all these different things. And sadly, what it is that we're very vocal about what we don't agree with.
Right.
But we're not very vocal with our acceptance, our love. Or, you know, despite your sin, we are sure. here to love on you. And so if you're going to constantly stand up and say, what you're doing is wrong, what right. you're doing is wrong, and then you do it.
Right.
Yeah,
oh, yeah.
yeah. Then it's really going to stand out.
Yeah. Hypocrisy is one of the most damaging things to religion and to faith. Hypocrisy is more than just about anything else. When you yell about it from the pulpit or wherever you are, and then you fall in that way, it's damaging. I remember a pastor saying, you know, if you listen to what the preacher's really going after in the pulpit, you know, odds are that's something that they're dealing with, and they probably have that in their life, and eventually they'll fall. And sure enough happened to him. Mm-hmm. You know, and you're like, oh
well, man. And I think about my dad. He worked for Jimmy Swaggart.
Your dad did?
Yeah, for a little while.
What was his job? Mail what?
Mailroom distribution or yeah, something
that
like that.
That was a horrible no, time sorry. For a pause.
Mailroom distribution, something like that. But anyways, my mom worked for them too, like the whole
really?
Thing. Yeah, and I actually went to the daycare there at the
what?
Church because the church was huge or whatever. But my mom, I think, worked for the vice president. And my dad was in the mail distribution.
That's
things
crazy.
Like that. But they were there when the whole debacle happened with Jimmy Swaggart.
So, okay, now what happened with them? Were they like, we're out of here? Or did they, because I've been through a church thing that half the congregation was like, this is wrong, we need to stop it. And another half were like, we just got to forgive and move on. You know,
I think a lot of people, like, because he did apologize,
sure,
and a lot of people stuck with him. I know, I don't remember if my parents, I know at some point they decided they were going to go to Nashville anyways,
yeah,
so it was just part of it. But the thing with Jimmy Swaggart was there was a second time,
yeah, exactly. That's the thing,
and so, he lost, I mean, his reputation just went down the drain after
yeah.
that.
That's like, there are people are human. Infallible, and they make mistakes. That's one of the things. I used to go to a church called Cross Point here, and one of the pastors we had a moral failure in his marriage years before at another church, and had gone through the steps. He made it right with his wife. She was okay with it. They actually started, like, they wrote a book together and were like trying to counsel people through this and show them that there can be life and a good marriage on the other side of this. And our church hired him. And I was really glad that we did, because it's easy to write somebody off and have them not ever be able to work in church again because, mm-hmm. oh, you messed up. And I don't think that's right. But I do think that there has to be accountability. There has to be steps. You can't just go, okay, I got caught, and then I'm going to just sit on the sideline for a few minutes, and then I'll start back in ministry. I think you have to have people in your life that are like, okay, no, this is the plan to restore you. You can be restored. God restores you instantly. Mm-hmm. But I think with people, you have to honor that hurt and that loss, and takes time to actually earn that trust back.
Well, and also too, there's so many documentaries out there about churches that did
yeah.
wrong. You know, like there's the one that was recent about the Way Down that we both watched that, and that one was crazy.
Okay.
And then there was another one about the Bakers. I watched yeah. a whole documentary about
the Hillsong one.
Yeah, the Hillsong
one.
Like there's
one
so.
Tough.
I think what it is people are looking to find those things. Like they're looking at churches yeah. to find the skeletons.
So. We actually had Taya. And we haven't run the interview yet. We're going to run it next week. She was with Hillsong, and I know no one's asking her about that Hillsong documentary because people just, they don't want to, sometimes representatives are like, no, you can't talk about certain things like that. And that's why I never ask That's why I never provide my questions for anybody. Mm-hmm. And I asked about it, you know, but I did it in a respectful way. And she had a great answer. Like, and it was a really good moment. I can't wait till we play that coming up. I was really super proud of her. And she gained a lot of respect for me, too, as someone who's young in this industry, for being willing to just speak to things that are difficult. And I was like, man, that was really good. But the Way Down Church, Remnant Church, is a super duper culty thing. And it's right next to this big Baptist church and everything. And I thought when Gwen Shamblin passed away, who was the leader of that church, and her husband, and again, there was so much messed up stuff. There's the documentary on it. You're like, oh, gee. Mm-hmm. I figured the church had just gone by the wayside. We drove by it the other day, and my wife and I were stunned. Parking lot full. I mean, full. And it's a huge parking lot, a big church, and there were tons of people there, and I'm like, oh my goodness.
Yeah, she texted me and told me that.
Oh, did she really?
Yeah, and I'm just shocked that the documentary didn't seem to hinder them.
It probably emboldened them, because what happens is, kind of like in cancel culture, when you go to cancel somebody, mm-hmm. a lot of times the people that are supporters of that, it rallies them, and because you're being persecuted. Mm-hmm. We're being persecuted. So I guarantee you that documentary rallied the people that were in it and were like, okay, we're being persecuted. We have to stand for our faith. Because I know a lady that was in it, and she told me the stories behind it, and you're like, oh my gosh. She's like, oh yeah, I cannot believe I was in it for that long and was fooled by all of this, and I bought into it, you know?
I think we could all it's easy for us to judge those people, but I think we sure. can all find ourselves in some similar situation like that.
I think I've seen people too that have gone to other churches that weren't like labeled like Remnant Church or whatever, but I've seen other churches that are the smaller like home churches and things like that, or different churches, and they start to, one big warning sign of a not healthy church environment is when they start to separate you from people. Mm-hmm. And this was a big tactic in Remnant Church. Like, these people don't know, and you can't be associated. And they're talking about your family, you know, and, mm-hmm. and people that don't believe like you believe. And so they isolate you. That isolation is a control tactic. And that, in control, is everything with cults. And I think that that's one of those big red flags, that if you're ever at a place and they start going, well, maybe you should cut ties with your family. We're your family now, mm-hmm. and you don't need to be around these people. Now, I get it if you're an alcoholic and you're coming out of alcoholism and they're saying, hey, you can't hang out with your old friends and go party like that. Like, I understand that. But when they're like, well, your friends are getting married, you can't go to their wedding because they don't believe like we do. Like, what? Mm-hmm. And that was one of the things they told this lady. Mm-hmm. So it's craziness. But anyway, Lady Rock, what do you got?
Vastercast.
Vastercast, you say? Yeah. 12-minute rant there. It wasn't a rant.
Come on. No, it wasn't. It was a good discussion.
Yes.
Okay, so here we go. Lea Michele, you remember her. She was in Glee, yes. and she was accused of bullying and being mean to the people that she was around.
I do remember this now.
There were some intense moments, and they said that they would never want to work with her again.
Yeah.
Anyways, she recently spoke out about those allegations. And let me just go through first what she said.
Sure,
okay?
Please.
Let me just go through that first. She said her behavior was a byproduct of an intense work style
yep.
and an early entertainment career as a child actor. She said, quote, I have an edge to me. I work Ooh. Really hard. I leave no room for mistakes. That level of perfection, or that pressure of perfectionism, left me with a lot of blind spots. I really understand the importance and value now of being a leader. It means not only going and doing a good job when the camera's rolling, but also when it's not. And that wasn't always the most important thing for
sure.
me. She later added, quote, everyone here has been through a lot, and I just have to come in and be prepared and do a good job and be respectful of the fact that this is their space, too.
Their space, too. Okay, I get that now. Yeah, that's a tough one for me.
So the reason that I thought that this aftercast was not going to be short
right.
was because recently, I can't remember if we talked about this in the aftercast or not.
We alluded to things. We didn't get into any detail.
Okay, so we recently had a meeting where someone's feelings were hurt by what Wally had to say about something that they had done.
I was critiquing work that I did, I thought was substandard, and I was honest about it, but I was trying to be kind. I didn't just say, you guys are dumb. Like, I have a level of perfection and a level of expectation, especially if I'm associated with it, that I want it to be, you know? And when it doesn't match up with that, I think one of the worst things you can do is just go along and say, no, it's great. Everything's great. Because that doesn't help anyone get better, you know? And so for me, literally everyone in the room went, yay! And I went, no, I don't think this is good. And then that started this whole thing rolling and people going, well, you weren't at the meeting, so you just can't say anything now. Like, I couldn't be at the meeting, so why can't I say anything now? Like, now's when we can fix it.
Yeah, and we had Pastor Chad in here earlier, and he was talking with you about it, and I feel like...
Not officially. He just happened to be here. I want to stress
it's
that.
There's friend-to-friend discussion. On behalf of...
Exactly.
No.
HR,
it wasn't that. It just came up. But I will say this, that you can tend to be direct.
Very.
About things.
Right. Oh.
And when you are direct, it can come across harsh.
Yes.
Oh, that's scary.
That's true.
And so
that's very
there
true.
Is no, beating around the bush. It's and I would say that when I say you can be harsh, even your body language says harsh.
Right.
So what you meant to say was, yeah, I don't like this and I don't want to do this. Your body language, and this is me coming on the outside and saying,
for
your
sure.
body language was saying, I'm angry.
Yes.
This is stupid.
Yes.
Why would you even think this was a good idea?
Yes.
And let's delete the whole thing and start over because your idea was horrible.
That's everything I was thinking.
Okay.
And so I didn't say that. So my body language conveyed some of that. That's
yes.
what, but that, what you just said was what I was filtering and not saying. Well, I was saying, well, I don't think it's on brand. I don't think that it's a good representation. And do you remember though, or did you feel like people like were chipping at me? Because I definitely felt like people were going at me hard. Because they were frustrated. They were like raising their tone.
Right. I feel like everyone was fine until you started speaking what your thoughts were, and then your body language and your tone were communicating what I just said.
Right.
So if you come towards someone with harshness, it's going to put people's bristles are going to come up. They're going to put up walls. It's just natural.
Right.
And, it is tough when you think that, oh, this thing that I've worked on is good. I think
sure.
that I did a good job. I personally like what I've done with this project.
Right.
And then receive someone who, you know, has like a very respected opinion within this company,
right.
they hear that opinion from you, which again, you never even said something along the lines of you did a bad job.
Right,
you
right.
described the product.
Product.
That you saw
I said, I don't think the product is good. I don't think it's a good reflection of who we are.
It's a big wall to run into when you have this high opinion of what
I
you've
get
done.
That.
And to hear that. So it's hard,
and
I think, to
have... And you saying the same words, like you did say those words, those
right.
exact words, but
oh,
it
yeah.
wasn't said in that tone.
Sure. I'm sure it was harsher. Yeah, it was much harsher.
There was, and you had your arms crossed,
right.
and you were doing a lot of...
right. Because, again,
because
though,
it's awkward, though.
I understand somebody being hurt by somebody saying your baby's ugly. I understand that. Like, because we create stuff all the time. And when people don't like it, I don't like that. If I created something and someone said this is horrible, yeah, I would be defensive as well.
Mm-hmm.
I don't feel like I took the first shot. The first shot came at me with people being defensive and saying, you know, well, you should have been there. Blah, 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 blah. Now you want to do this? Like, they were getting snippy with me. And the minute you do that, that's when I'm like, okay, now I see what we're doing. I'm going to take this out, you know? And so I don't feel like I firmly don't feel like I drew first blood other than saying, I have a problem with this.
Okay. I get where you're coming from. That's your perspective.
Sure.
I can give you, all I can do is get, because I wasn't in it.
Right.
The dispute is not between me and you.
Sure, absolutely.
But all I can do is give you the perspective of others.
Right.
And while you didn't mean to hurt anyone's feelings, only to get your point across,
right.
you trying to get your point across was hurtful.
Sure.
So when you say, I wasn't the first ones to throw,
right.
you know, swords at people.
Right.
Your body language and your tone did.
Right.
And also, how it was, people were picking up on how you were feeling about it on the day that we were filming too, because sure. I did have people asking me, are you okay?
Yeah. And I didn't want, I should have left, but that would have been bad. I would have been seen as a prima donna. This, and back to this lady's right. point, if I don't want to be involved with something I think is substandard, then I probably should have just went, I'm sorry, I can't do this, and walked out. Then I still would have been a jerk. So yeah. I went through it trying, and I gave it my best when I was there, but it was humiliating. Honestly, it was an embarrassment for me.
Okay, and see how you're doing yes. that, how you came across, that's how I felt like you were coming across.
That was
upstairs.
My tone upstairs. Yeah, that was yeah. my tone upstairs.
And so when you have that tone, if someone comes, like you're sure. you're like saying, oh, I'm excited about this.
Right.
But if I came to you and I said, I can't stand what you just did.
Right.
That is terrible
right.
and it is disgusting and right. I want you to take me out of it.
Humiliating right. is a hard word to hear.
It is, yeah, it's a hard word.
If I came to you with that tone and sure. that kind of body language, you would... bristle.
Sure. Absolutely. Absolutely.
And you'd be like,
well, because at the end of the, again, like, I understand.
It's about
I understand,
delivery, I
sure.
suppose.
No, that's true. I understand that people get labeled as difficult to work with or prima donna sometimes when they're pushing for good work. And I understand that. And I take that, you know. Yes, I think I could have definitely adjusted my tone, but I'm human too, and so when yeah. I felt like I was getting attacked, I fought back, and I definitely had a super harsh tone.
And I do, I agree. I think though that the tone and you feeling attacked happened before they threw the stones that you're accusing them of.
Well, because there was one. I don't know if you were in there. There was another minor altercation prior to that when I saw it first,
and
that started it. Like that was already the undercurrent there, and so I think that's where I was drawing that from. But at the end of the day,
I honestly think it comes down to communication.
Like yeah.
If you were in that situation, let's say hindsight's 20/20,
sure.
and you go back and you knew where that was going to go, communication would have been the key there. You would have needed to go to the person that took that on as their baby, and you maybe should say, listen, I see where this video is going. I don't feel comfortable with it.
Right.
So I'm going to step out, and here are the reasons why.
Right.
Well, that gave you a chance to justify yourself.
It would have been a big problem there.
Yeah, it would have, but it all comes back to when that meeting was happening about what the ideas were.
Right.
Because you weren't in that meeting,
right.
then they came up with the idea that they thought
was good. But even somebody else who's above them, their boss, was like, wait, that's their excuse, is you weren't in the meeting? Absolutely not. That's not the right excuse, you know, like to discredit your opinion. Like it's like, okay, well, you weren't there, so you have no right to say anything. No, that's not true at all when it's something that is your likeness, you know, and you weren't told anything else from any other moment. I never had another chance to speak into it. So this is where I trusted, and I should not have trusted. That's my problem. I gave trust where now that trust has been broken in my mind, and I will never do a project again that I don't know every minute detail of with them until they earn that trust back. And so that's going to be a problem in the future, full on, honestly. Or to extricate myself from it completely, which isn't healthy either.
Or good for the show.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, so I'm kind of in not a great situation here with this, you know, although, yeah, and I don't want to get into that, that other people who weren't in the meeting and control the content saw it and were like already changing it before I even got to them, you know, and so that validates what I felt. So in the end, I still think I was right. I firmly believe I was right, and I will never be convinced that I was not right in my assessment of this. But I do agree with you. Like I get caught up in the moment sometimes, and I don't handle myself. I just handle myself super direct and chippy, and not like sweet or kind, you know. Yeah, and so I definitely can work on that.
And that was all human too. In my mind, like, all that whole situation on both sides was very like human response.
Yeah. Exactly.
It's not like you had time to prepare.
We're also not saying that we wouldn't have handled it well any better. Not.
What's super interesting though is Betty, because Betty's a 9, and Betty wants everyone to get along, and Betty has a good sweetheart, and so
sometimes.
Most of the time it's a little black.
It depends.
Yeah,
depends on the week.
Depends if she's been fed.
Yeah. But what was interesting was, is she came to me, and her big point to make her point that I was harsh was, you know, that girl went out and cried, you know, and I said, okay. And I know I came off to you as very unfeeling, but I'm like, okay, fine. Like, but I'm mad. So we each had our own reactions to that same altercation. Mm-hmm. Hers was to cry, and my point was, her tears are no more valid than my anger. We're both reacting to the way that something went down.
Yeah, that's just how, reacted to it differently.
Right, that's how she chooses to process it. I choose to be angry and stew about it, mm-hmm. but we're both not happy right now.
Right.
You know, and so, but there's something about if you make someone cry, then you're instantly the villain, you know?
One thing garners sympathy, the other garners, that judgy guy.
Right, like, exactly.
It's definitely hard, and, you know,
But again, you have a sweetheart.
Well, and I'm not sitting here to say...
I mean, you're judging me.
Well, and that's where I'm going to go. Because Lord knows, and Wally knows, Gavin knows, I am not perfect. Even today, I got a little perturbed with Wally when he just wanted a simple explanation on a calendar situation. Yeah. But I just was not in the mood to explain myself.
I will say, our thing is annoying.
It's a nightmare.
But all that to say, I'm not... I don't want people to say, oh, she's just always quick to judge him. I'm not. But I am here to... give you a different perspective on other people and how they're feeling, and you take that and do whatever you want with it. But that's not my problem. I'm not here to fix it. I'm just here to share.
As an eight, that's really important. Okay, as an eight for me, because you're someone that I respect and I respect your opinion. I asked you afterwards. I said, "Tell me honestly. I want your opinion because that's what I cared about." You know, because you guys are the people I care most about here. Like everybody else is ancillary to me. Like they can affect my job, but not nearly the way you two can. And so, like, I wanted to know your opinion. You have 15 years with me, so your opinion matters. And I take it with weight. I might not always agree with it, but I take it. And I guarantee you, you are in my head a lot of times. And in the future, if I get into a situation like this, I know, hey, girl, hey, I will, what's up? I'm hangry. I will probably hear your voice and hear this time and this incident in my head replaying and hopefully make better choices with my tone, you know. And so, but the important thing is for the eight is you say, here's the information, you do you. Like, I'm not telling you what to do because I'm not you and I don't sit in your chair and I'm not wired like you. Mm-hmm. And so this is something that I think might be able to help you. If you want to take it, great. If not, no worries. We're still friends. Like, that's the best way to handle me, which is what you did, you know. And that's a good way to handle an eight for sure, so if you're an Enneagram.
What are you?
Let me implode.
Well, what are we going to do now?
What? Oh, how are we problem solving this? We move on like it didn't happen. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely, that's what you do.
The next round of whatever the next project is and the way that everything is handled, whether it's meetings, the direction of projects, like that's the way that you measure what just happened this week or last week.
We don't have to talk about it. We just see if anyone learned a lesson, myself included. And so next time there's a meeting about creative, okay, I'll make sure that I adjust my schedule and I'll be there. And then we'll see how that goes. And then if the project comes together and it goes well, and that's great. Like, it's the rule I always told my daughter when she was young.
Sweep it under the rug?
No. when there's altercations and stuff with people at school or what have you, and you're walking on eggshells around them, I said, it's only awkward if you let it be awkward. Like if you hide from them or you see them coming down the stairs and you go the opposite way, then it's awkward. But lean into it, man. Like lean into that awkwardness. If they want to be awkward with it and think there's a problem, that's on them. You just do you, you know, and that's that kind of thing here. Hey, man, that was a day. That was one day out of a billion days that we're going to have here and we move forward.
That was one thing that you told me super early on when I was here was that you are like very capable of burying the hatchet.
Yeah, I can put stuff
behind.
After
things are done, as long as it's buried the hatchet because the person who did something in a not so great way starts performing better.
Yeah, absolutely. Like I can write people off super quickly, but when somebody comes to me and goes, "Man, I messed up," and I go, "Okay, that's cool," and they're making the steps to do it right, I have a lot of grace. And I hope, and because I've had to do that a lot in my life. Mm-hmm. I've had to go to people and go, I messed up, you know, and I need your grace.
So what about in a situation where you don't think you're wrong and mm-hmm. the other person involved doesn't think they're wrong?
That's where we just keep going. Like, that's where you just keep working. Exactly. That's the thing. Creative work is hard because you have winners and losers and it's very personal. I know in my head, I walk away from this because the person who has final say so knew it wasn't good, redid it on their own, re-edited it and stuff, and then cut around me as much as possible. And I go, I'm good with that. Like, that's all I need out of this. Because I know in my soul what needed to be done, and it was done, you know? And so I don't have to worry about it.
Okay.
I will also say, there's a part of me that, like, with this project going out, I do, because I watched a little bit of it. I didn't see myself in it, because we did a lot of dancing in this part.
Yes,
my stupid
did.
Knee still hurts from when we filmed this thing on Monday. Literally, like, we did it. I danced hard. It was great. And then I was like, oh, my knee kind of bothers me the rest of the day. It's like 4 days later, and I'm still getting out of my chair every time going, ugh.
Gavin's the only one to get hurt at the video shoot.
Yeah, that's so dumb.
Oh, it's so good. All right, well, we got to hustle because we got birthdays and weekend plans.
Snap.
And we have to do a Flashback Friday.
Yes.
So birthdays, go.
Only one, Lauren. Oh, she's celebrating a birthday today. She said, I'm turning 29, and
nice.
This is my fourth year teaching middle school math.
Oh, God bless you.
Math.
She said, I try to make math fun for my students. I don't even know how that's possible. Please bring back iPod Roulette.
Oh, I know.
That was my favorite segment. Betty is the best. Hey. Yeah.
Well, let me see.
iPod
right
Roulette
there.
Was a great segment. I do love that. And Snap Judgment. Those are two of my favorite segments
I miss
we did.
Snap.
I know. We're Snap will be coming back soon.
Yeah.
I hope.
Okay, so since we're running behind, do you want to just go to
Weekend Plans? Everyone's got the Weekend Plans. All right. My Weekend Plans are going to be sweating a lot. I'm finishing my deck, and I take such pride in when I do something and I look at it and I build it and it comes out right, I will stand on that deck. I will probably sleep on that deck this weekend.
You're like a dad who's just finished mowing some grass and you just sit there and stare at it.
After I mowed, after I got my riding lawnmower and I mowed, I just sat there on my mower and just stared. I'm like, this is so great.
Tell me the name of your lawnmower again.
Right now it's Oz Fox.
I posted it and so many people had different ideas.
Oh, we should do a segment on that.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, let's do a segment on that next week then. Please remind me. Okay. And I'm going to do some grilling out.
Yeah,
man stuff. And that's it. Gavin, what are you doing?
Parents are coming, not into town this week. So my mom flies into town tonight because my dad was teaching some class outside of Knoxville for the Air Force all week. So we are picking mom up tonight at the airport. Tomorrow morning, we're driving to Gatlinburg see my dad. We got a cabin for the weekend. So a little bit of relaxation, no dog. So I get to sleep in for a couple days.
Are your siblings going to be there?
No.
So just you and your parents?
Yeah, just me.
Oh, that's great.
Me, Haley, mom, and dad. That's the first time that's ever happened. I haven't thought about that.
That'll be fun. Hit them up for money when the other siblings aren't around.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, that's what you do. That's how you do it.
I filled my gas tank up.
Yeah.
Not fully yesterday
because
my mom and dad were like, hey, we'll take care of gas this weekend.
Yes.
I was like, all right.
Yeah.
I'll listen to that.
He had just enough gas to get home.
I'm so cheap, though.
Wow.
That's
it's
a good
expensive.
Thing. Lady Rock, Weekend Plans.
Tonight, we are celebrating Nick Nack's birthday.
Woo! Oh, okay.
So
I thought you already did.
We're going. Well, that was just us. But now we're having a bunch of people, and we're going to go do an escape room.
Nice.
And we're going to go eat Mexican. Nice.
Yes.
I'm so excited about
it. I would do the escape room first, because the last thing you want to do is eat Mexican, then get trapped in a room.
Great point. And then after that, on Saturday, I'm going to sleep in, and then I have to go to a birthday party at 4:30. So I'm going to do that for friends. Super excited. Sunday's church. Monday!
Woo! Three-day weekend.
Mm-hmm.
Monday. I don't have any plans for Monday, and I'm super stoked about it.
Oh, for sure. All right. Well, then that's going to do it for our aftercast. And as always, thanks for being a potty. And again, as Betty Rock just mentioned, no aftercast or podcast on Monday, but we will be back on Tuesday.